Tweet at TodaySOR.
And text us on 51551. The debate over whether to retain or scrap Seanad Éireann may be dominating coverage in the media in the run-up to polling day. But voters will be also asked on Friday if they favour the introduction of a new Court of Appeal. I'm joined in studio now by the Director General of the Law Society of Ireland, Ken Murphy, and also by Seth Barrett-Tillman, Law Lecturer at NUI Maynooth, to debate the arguments for and against this new proposed court. Good morning to you both. Ken Murphy,
good morning.
You are in favour of this Court of Appeal being introduced. Tell us where this court would fit into our current court structure?
Currently, it would fit in between the High Court and Supreme Court. We currently have 36 High Court judges, and any of the cases that come before any of those judges could be appealed to the Supreme Court. There is a massive backlog building up within the Supreme Court. In the 1960s, there were 7 High Court judges. Now there are 36 High Court judges, and really the system hasn't moved with the times. And we think that there should be, and certainly the proposal from all parties, supported by all parties in the Oireachtas, and I was on a working group chaired by now Chief Justice, Justice Susan Denham, that proposed a number of years ago that the answer to this is to bring Ireland into line with other jurisdictions around the world. We're a bit of an outlier in not having a Court of Appeal which would deal with the more routine appeal cases from the High Court to the Supreme Court, leaving the Supreme Court free to deal with matters of major public importance and constitutional issues. This is the norm around the world.
So what kind of cases would come before this new Court of Appeal if the people vote yes?
It would deal with, the Court of Appeal would deal with what I, not disparagingly I hope, would refer to as the more routine cases, or what the Chief Justice in a speech last Friday referred to as cases that are clearly very important for the parties concerned, but not necessarily of important general importance to the public. Therefore, routine cases to do with just about anything that can come before the courts, and there's a huge range of technical matters and legal matters. We've become a very litigious society, but that's pretty normal in modern societies. We're a much more complex world now, and really we think that unless we can deal with the enormous backlog of cases, which is 4.5 years in delay for normal cases going between the High Court and Supreme Court at present, unless we can deal with that, that is impacting on society and on the economy.
Justice delayed, as the famous phrase has it, Seth Barrett-Tillman, is justice denied. We simply cannot tolerate these long delays, and this Court of Appeal is designed to have that delay cut short.
Well, thanks very much for giving me an opportunity to speak here today, Sean. I think the first thing we have to do is we have to call this by its proper name. This is a new bailout. We've bailed out the bonds. We bail out the bondholders and the banks, and this is the judicial bailout. That's what this is. And we're trying to reward a failing and failed set of institutions with more resources. And that already should lead us to ask some very deep questions. Of course, justice delayed is justice denied. But the real question is, will this be a solution? And I have very good reason to think it won't, in large part because the arguments that have been offered to date don't make very much sense. One argument you just heard from Ken over here was back in the 1960s, there were only 7 high court justices, but now there are 36. Well, the whole world has changed in the last 50 years. We now have electronic resources for judges to do their opinion drafting. That wasn't available 50 years ago, so much of their work should be simpler and more quick. This court won't work for the very simple reason that no one has explained why the backlog could be handled more quickly, more promptly, and more expeditiously by a new group of 9 people than the 9 people you already have. And until we hear those arguments, what new procedures will be implemented in the new institution, there's no reason to think you're doing anything but shuffling paper around and spending a great deal of the taxpayers' money, who isn't at fault for creating this backlog.
Do you attach any importance to the intervention of the Chief Justice, Mrs. Susan Denham, at the weekend, arguing for the merits of this case?
I actually read her comments in the Irish Times, and I have to tell you, I found them extraordinary. I have to say I also found them very ill-informed. The Chief Justice said in 2012 her court had 258 written dispositions. Well, I invite anyone in the listening audience to go to the website of the Supreme Court and click judgments and click decisions, and you'll find there are only 120 or so reported decisions. What the Chief Justice is doing is claiming, as part of the productivity of her court, hundreds of dispositions which aren't in the public domain, and also which are minor dispositions when parties just settle cases. It's not part of the real productivity of her court.
You can hardly, in fairness, to accuse the Chief Justice of not knowing what's going on in the Supreme Court.
I didn't say she didn't know what's going on. I said she's claiming as part of the productivity dispositions that aren't in the public domain that no
but,
one
I
can
mean,
see.
She says, for instance, that in 2012 there were 258 written judgments in the Supreme Court.
And only 120 are published. The other dispositions aren't published. They're minor. If they were important dispositions, they'd be on the website, and they're not. And I'd like to follow up.
Can you clarify that perhaps, Ken?
Yes, I think I'm looking at the Chief Justice's remarks here. She makes the point that the Supreme Court is finalising more cases than ever. She said it is one of the busiest Supreme Courts in the world. In 2012, it dealt with appeals with orders and written judgments, 258. By comparison, she points out that in the 9-judge Supreme Court in Washington, there were 64 cases in 2012. The Supreme Court in London had 77 cases. The Supreme Court in Ottawa had 83 cases. 258. It is one of the most productive, most hardworking courts
yes,
in the world.
In fairness to Seth, he did say orders, she says orders
yes.
and written judgments. So the written judgments probably do just amount to the 128.
That's right, but these are cases disposed of. I don't think there's any error, certainly, in what the Chief Justice has said.
This is completely comparing apples and oranges. If we're going to include non-reported judgments, which are not really part of the productivity of this court or any court, then the U.S. Supreme Court could claim another 9,000 dispositions because it gets petitions to hear cases that are rejected, but they read the briefs. This is an apples and oranges comparison. If you want to know what the court has done, go to its own website. You'll only find 120 judgments. But to make the point more boldly, in April of 2013, this very year, not last year, there was only one written judgment published by the Supreme Court. What are they doing there? One published judgment in all of April and three in January. That's less than one a week. There's a productivity problem, and a new court can't solve that.
The Supreme Court is extremely hardworking and works on a treadmill from which it needs to be released so that it can deal with cases of major public importance. Nobody is denying, I don't know if Seth is saying, that there isn't a delay of 4.5 years in dealing with cases. There is. I think that, and this is...
But the question he poses is whether a new layer of another 8 or 10 judges is going to be any faster in dealing with those than the 10 that are there already.
This is a missing piece of infrastructure. Going from the commercial court, I've said this in the past, I'll say it again, going from the commercial court in Ireland into the Supreme Court is like driving from a modern 21st century motorway into a small winding boreen, not because of the judges, but because of the lack of resources. We simply don't have a court system, an appellate court system appropriate for the 21st century. And this isn't just an issue about justice. It's also an issue about jobs, because as far as business and mobile international investment coming to Ireland is concerned, they will want to have the capacity to have their disputes resolved relatively quickly, and this is not acceptable in the modern world.
Of course they want their disputes handled quickly, but no one has made any argument why the new court will be any more productive or quick than the judges you have now. All this court is doing is asking for more resources and shuffling paper from one court to another. The problem you have is you have bad rules that guide the conduct of litigation. Oral argument at the Supreme Court lasts days. That's a complete misuse of this court's time. And if it's duplicated at the Court of Appeal, you will duplicate the problem.
What should they do instead?
Well, the Chief Justice actually addressed this in her comments. She said we have to have long oral argument in order to protect, and I quote, the people's right to a fair trial. That's a remarkable statement. What the Chief Justice is saying is that her court, the Supreme Court, is involved in protecting the fair trial right. But the fair trial right takes place in the trial court. It's almost as if what the Chief Justice is saying, every trial has to be duplicated in her court.
Are you saying everything should be done on paper or mostly done on paper when it gets to the Supreme Court?
Exactly. Almost everything should be done on paper, and that's the way most constructed appellate systems work.
And that is the case. Most of the work that is done in appellate cases in the Supreme Court is done on paper. And the hearings are relatively short, and there has been a great deal of case management work, which is putting in modern systems there. Everything else has been tried. What is missing here is the system that will allow fair and speedy disposal of cases, of which there is an extraordinary number waiting in delay at the moment.
This simply is not true. Cases are not presented on paper. There are only skeleton arguments that go to the Supreme Court on paper. The bulk of the judicial administration is done in oral argument that lasts hours, if not days. And this is no way to run an appellate system. And if it's done again at the Court of Appeal, you will simply duplicate a terrible problem.
It is not the case that Seth is, I think, mistaken in his understanding of what happens to the Supreme Court. I go to the Supreme Court regularly. The cases are dealt with pretty efficiently. And most of the work is done in pre-reading by the judges of transcripts of the earlier case.
What about the point made by the Master of the High Court, Mr. Honohan, mm-hmm. Edmund Honohan, where he says that about Of the 500 appeals waiting to be heard by the Supreme Court, half would be settled, quote unquote, on the spot if they were called for review today, because many litigants are filing appeals as a way of holding on to or freezing the status quo.
It is a case that some people do appeal cases in order to delay and to create an opportunity for settlement at levels of justice below what has been appealed by the courts. But I do think the Master of the High Court, of course, has a view, but I think it's very much a minority view. I don't think anybody in
but
the judiciary...
But he has a bird's eye view.
I don't think anybody in the judiciary, and the Master isn't a judge, as you know, really believes that that's the case. Anybody who's dealing with the Supreme Court now sees that it is on a treadmill which has to be relieved. Particularly, one of the things that could happen is that if the Supreme Court is allowed to develop principled jurisprudence and deeper cases... Then deeper judgments, the principles of law will become clearer and therefore there'll be fewer appeals. One of the reasons for so many appeals at the moment is because of uncertainty, because the Supreme Court can't develop principles.
Seth, what do you say to Mr. Honan's observation that if for the next 2 years there were allocated one Supreme Court judge and one High Court judge to hear on a daily basis a review of each appeal filed within the previous 6 months to see what the reality of it is and how it can be expedited, it would be possible to progress appeals much more quickly in the current framework?
To be perfectly frank, when I read those comments, I thought that Mr. Houlihan was probably the most courageous person on this island. That took tremendous courage for him to say. And of course the judges are going to line up, or at least be quiet. The Chief Justice has come out for this proposal. The Chief Justice of the country. Are they really going to say they disagree with her? Every barrister and solicitor who might have to practice before the new court is frankly in terror of coming out against the new court.
I have to say this is nonsense, really, because I was on the working group that we worked for 3 years and made a report to government in relation to this. There was wide consultation in relation to this. Nobody is scared. Everybody recognises that there is a need for us to bring our court system into line with best practice across the world and really, you know, from both for the benefit of society and the economy, this has to happen.
And to follow up with Mr. O'Hunahan's comments, the Master of the High Court, if the Supreme Court broke itself into two divisions of five or three and adjudicated one case a day for every business day, one case a day, you'd have 500 dispositions, if not 600 in a year, and you've resolved your backlog. And if this court can't resolve one case every business day, then no increase in the number of judges could possibly solve your problem.
International best practice is that the Supreme Court should be charged with deciding legal issues of public or constitutional importance. A court of appeal below it should deal with appeals below it. This is not an additional layer. This is a division of labour in accordance with best practice across the world. Ireland needs it. And actually, the voters who are listening can actually do something to resolve this problem. They can vote yes on Friday.
Ken Murphy, Director General of the Law Society of Ireland, Seth Barra-Tillman, Department of Law at NUI Minute. Thank you both for being with us.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.